Good Saturday morning. Welcome to the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show. I'm Dave Wilson. Jason French is also with us here from Stutzman's Greenhouse to answer your lawn and garden questions. Couple ways you can get those to us, 869-1330. You can call that number, 869-1330. You can also send your question to the KNSS Facebook page today as well. Good morning, Jason.
Hey, good morning.
Here we are in another nice-looking fall Saturday here in Kansas, and it looks like there at Stutzman's, you guys are loaded up with all sorts of fall items right now, right?
Yeah, we're definitely into the fall season. I know it's not going to feel real fall-like this afternoon, but, we're at that time of year with those cool mornings and shorter days, and it's a great time with fall decor and mums and pumpkins and straw and corn shucks and pansies and all those types of things this time of year out at Stutzman's.
Now, you mentioned pumpkins there. You guys have several different varieties of pumpkins, right?
Oh, more than you may even realize are varieties.
All right.
I mean, of course, we've got, the orange jack-o'-lanterns. We've got the smaller orange pie pumpkins, which are, they're good for decorating, but a little bit better for use in baking and pies and things. But then you get into that whole category we call the funky pumpkins, and there's all of the flat ones and the Cinderella ones and all of the whites and grays and blues and yellows and all the different colors in those pumpkins as well.
Now, I learned something this week when I went on to the Stutzman's Facebook page. I didn't realize there was such a thing as a lemon pumpkin.
Yeah, looks like a jack-o'-lantern, but instead of an orange rind, it has this nice, smooth yellow color to it and gives a really nice contrast to that deep orange or, some of those other fall colors, but still in that fall palette, but more of a newer variety for us anyway with that smooth yellow coloring.
All right, pumpkins, you're going to find those along with all the other fall items Jason talked about and a lot more at Stutzman's. You can see a video about what they've got available right now when you go online to the Stutzman's Facebook page. All sorts of great information for you right there. Jason, let's talk about fall vegetables. Which ones are cold hardy?
A few things are going to be productive and good for a little while yet. Few of the other things starting to wrap up. Tomatoes are mostly finished. We're still getting a few here and there, and a lot of times there's a set of some green ones coming on, and you may still be having some peppers, but a lot of our squashes and cucumbers and things, they've wrapped up. But other plants, they're just kind of coming into their own this time of year. A lot of our greens are lettuces, spinach, things like that. They're pretty cold hardy, going to be productive quite a few more weeks. Some of them, like spinach, it's usually not even the first hard freeze that gets it. It takes it a little bit longer. And if you've started some of those other fall vegetables, those cold hardy things, cabbage, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, those types of things, they're growing very well right now, not probably producing much of a head yet with this being this warm yet, but they are very acclimated to the cooler weather, and a lot of times the vegetable tastes a lot better with some colder weather, and a little frost brings out some of those sweetnesses in the cabbage head and things like that. So, a lot of those are still going to be going in our gardens for at least another month or so.
All right. How about spring bulbs? Do we still have time to plant those?
And that's one we don't always talk about enough. We're just getting into the time with those spring blooming bulbs or your fall planted bulbs. They work a little differently than other kinds of plants. Bulbs have everything they need to bloom inside that bulb when you plant it. But planting it, they root in the fall, and then they need to go through a cold treatment, or winter, to tell them it's time to put that shoot up and bloom. And usually most of our bulbs need 10 or 12 weeks of that cooler weather. So, you know, if we get them planted by mid-November, you know, they would have several months. I've had people successfully plant them, you know, as late as Thanksgiving, but they do need to have 10 or 12 weeks of winter before they're able to bloom well in the springtime. And those are things like tulips, daffodils, the hyacinths, the allium, the kind of Dr. Seuss-looking plant with that big purple ball on a stick-type bulb. But a lot of great ones can be planted this time of year.
All right, great information there about the spring bulbs. You're listening to the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show. If you've got a question about your lawn or garden, you can call us at 869-1330. You can also send it to the KNSS Facebook page. Elaine has done that this morning, and she's asking which plants need to be cleaned up and pruned back in the fall.
You know, and that's a really good question. And some of that we can start doing right now. Some of those perennial plants looking pretty, starting to go dormant, looking pretty shabby. A lot of them, maybe the peonies, iris, hosta, a lot of them are starting, you can tell fall and winter is coming. That foliage is beginning to yellow and kind of dry up. And as we see that happening, that's when we can go ahead and clip some of those things back and look and see if we need to do mulching or anything else on those. Some of our other ones, maybe you've had daylilies or those iris are getting kind of thick and not blooming the way they should. This is a good time of year to be thinning or dividing those perennials. Some of our other ones, you know, I would still maybe wait just a little bit till we're a little bit cooler and they start to go a little bit more dormant before, you know, we're cutting them back and doing a whole lot. They're still pretty healthy, green, leafy. They're still producing energy and storing that into that crown or into that root system for winter and for next spring to come out. So we don't want to jump it too much, but a lot of these are really starting to fade and go, and we can begin some of that. I wouldn't do any of my fall fertilizings or anything until after we've had a frost or freeze, but you know, I was out this morning doing some watering and noticed those peonies are getting pretty yellow on a lot of the foliage and fading, and thinking I probably ought to get out there in the next few days and prune those back and start cleaning up some of that area.
And I assume that also goes for our container plants, right?
It does. You know, container plants, if we're talking annuals and things, as long as the weather is nice and they're blooming and all, I would continue give them regular fertilizing. We don't need to worry about them going dormant and going through the winter. We want them just to do all they can now. You know, lantana, some of the petunias, some of the vincas are all still looking really pretty nice. We keep those going, but you know, a lot of times people do put different perennial items and things in our containers, and if we're going to try to overwinter them in that container, you know, we do want to kind of wean them off the feed and things and let them go dormant. If we're going to if we've enjoyed them in our container and we want a little more assurance they're going to be a perennial, you know, this is a great time to pull some of those things out and put them down in the ground if you had them in your containers as well.
All right, great question there about plants cleaning up and pruning them back here in the fall. Elaine, thank you so much for that. Now, she sent her question to the KNSS Facebook page. You can do that or give us a call this morning, 869-1330. Jason, some, you know, people like to use row covers for season extension. What are some tips on the best way to do that?
Yeah, and that's where we're going to see usually when we get a little colder, we need a little bit of frost protection or something. Those sometimes they call them floating row covers are helpful. And they are usually this pretty finely woven or spun material. They're usually white. And, you know, those can be put over, depending on what you're growing and how it is. Some people will take them out if there's a frost threatening and throw them over to protect maybe your green beans or something that are a little more frost sensitive, but we're still getting a good harvest on. And so they can help like that. Other times, some of that stuff like those greens I was talking about, the lettuce and spinach, you know, a lot of times as we start to get a little bit cooler, we can put that row cover over them. And since it's not so, you know, dense and impervious, light can get through, water can get through, rain can get through, but it gives something when we would have frost to settle on instead of your plant. And then it also traps a little bit of that warmth from the earth at night, so we don't get the frost on them. But those are a great item. They can they're easily cut or trimmed to certain sizes, but a lot of times you can find, you know, they might be 4 foot wide and like 25 foot long. So they would do like a row in the garden, or you could cut it into, you know, pieces as needed. But great item. A lot of times I've seen them also used if maybe we were seeding some grass or something in an area. You could put that down, and then you don't tap it down to the earth itself, but just kind of tack the edges of it so it's kind of loose over there. And that keeps some of the birds and other things out of that grass seed until it's able to sprout and start growing, and then you would take it off. But those row covers, that frost buff material is pretty versatile as we get late in the season and, again, early in the season.
All right. Eric has sent us a question this morning on Facebook. He says, spider mites are taking over my indoor plants. What's the best way to get rid of them?
Spider mites are a tough one, too, because, you know, depending on temperature, the warmer we are, the faster they can go through their whole life cycle from egg to feeding adult. And, you know, summertime, when it's close to 100 outside, that can be a matter of 5 to 7 days. Now, indoor plants were not as likely for it to be quite that fast, but indoors, we have that perfect environment. You know, there's no predators. There's no rain to wash the insect off the plant or, you know, slow anything down. So they can get pretty persistent inside. And being a spider mite, much like you think from their name, they are an actual spider and not a insect. And so a lot of our insecticides don't really do a whole lot for mites. So we need to be sure, you know, checking our label that we're doing a miticide. And, you know, we do carry several different ones from, you know, your regular chemistry types. You know, BioAdvanced makes a great insect disease and mite control that could be used. Also, a lot of the naturals work pretty well with spider mites, but application is real important. The horticultural oils, in particular, can be very effective with mites. But you're going to want to do, especially if you've already got a problem with them, you can't just do usually one application and then walk away, because those egg form is going to hatch, and then you're going to have more generations pretty quickly. So I always like to do maybe two applications, space them about 5 to 7 days apart. And if the weather's warm like this time of year, I would take the plant, if possible, outdoors so I can really get the top side of the leaf. But a lot of plants, they tend to like the bottom side of the leaf. And so a lot of times you kind of have to tip the plant and spray to get the underside really well and all the little cracks and crevices. And then we'd want to do that, like I said, a second time in about, 5 to 7 days. And then we're going to want to really monitor those, because they are really, really hard to see. A lot of times you can't just look at the plant and go, oh, there's a spider mite. I like to use the white paper test to see if I still have more spider mites. The areas where I've seen that kind of bronzing or that kind of stippling damage where they've been feeding, if you put a white piece of paper underneath it and then with your other hand sharply tap the leaf, those mites can be knocked off of there onto that paper where they're a little bit easier to see. They're going to look just like little specks. About if you made a real sharp pencil and just made a dot, that's about how big they are. But on that white paper, you may be able to see them moving around. And if you're not sure if they're moving around, if you take a second paper and put on top of it and slide it across there, you'll crush them and you'll be able to see little streaks. And so you can kind of see that they were there. But that's one, if you've had a problem with, you'll want to stay on top of it for, you know, several applications to get them under control.
All right, Eric, thank you for that question this morning. What are some things we should be looking for to see if we have spider mites, Jason?
Like I said, they're very, very small, but the first things you're going to see if you're looking at a nice, healthy green leaf, on the surface of it, it's kind of a yellowing. I use the word stippling because it's almost like a little dotted pattern. A spider mite, they don't chew. They don't bite pieces out of the leaf or anything. That would be, you know, pretty easy to tell. But they're a sucking pest. And so as they feed and suck those juices out of that leaf, it kind of bleaches the color out. So you'll get this lighter color. As they get a little bit worse, a lot of people get them in tomato plants. And, you know, first you'll get that look. Then you'll have that yellowing and crunchy drying up of the leaf where they've actually sucked the life out of that whole leaf. And so, you know, watch for yellowing or leaf drop. And the other thing, depending on kind of plants and numbers of them, they are a spider, but they don't spin a web like a traditional spider. But as they're feeding and living their life on that leaf, they do leave a webbing behind. High numbers of them, they can even kind of envelop a leaf. But the backside of the leaf, or few kinds like the top side, but where the mites are, it's going to look dirty. Little bits of dust and dirt and things get stuck in that spider webbing. A lot of times if you take your finger and rub the underside of the leaf and there's spider mites, you're going to collect a very fine webbing, almost like a lint or a dust off the backside of that leaf. And so those are some things to look for. And then, like I said, that paper test is an easy way to see. But most people need a little hand lens or a little magnifying glass to really get a good look at the mite itself.
All right. Lots of great information there. Learn all about spider mites this morning there with Jason. If you've got a question about your lawn and garden, you can call us 869-1330. 869-1330 is the number. You can also send it to the KNSS Facebook page as well this morning here on the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show. Ben Miller is going to give us an update on Stutzman's right now.
Good morning, everyone. Hi, this is Ben Miller. Thanks for listening to today's broadcast of the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show. More with Jason coming up. It's hard to believe that summer is winding down and the transition to fall begins at Stutzman's. All this week, perennial hibiscus are 50% off, perfect for fall planting. Summer hanging baskets and patio planters are also 50% off while they last. All of our stores are transitioning to fall with pansies, flowering kale, asters, and wonderful selection of mums starting at $4.99. Be sure and pick up some of our beautiful funky and traditional pumpkins along with traditional and miniature straw bales for fall decorations. Fall is fast approaching, and let us help you make the transition to the beauty of fall. Let's celebrate the upcoming fall season together at Systems Greenhouse, where we can't wait for cooler weather. We hope to see you soon at one of our 12 garden centers today and find out more at systems.com or on Facebook. Again, this is Ben Miller. Have a great day and enjoy America's number one hobby, gardening. Now back to Jason and the Home and Garden Show, brought to you by Stutzman's Greenhouse and Garden Centers.
And this is the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show. If you have a question about your lawn and garden for Jason French this morning, 869-1330 is the number to call, 869-1330. You can send it to the KNSS Facebook page as well this morning, your lawn and garden question. Jason, what are some good tips for planting cover crops here in the fall and winter?
You know, and I don't think as many people plant those as probably should, especially if you're not doing a lot of fall gardening right now and that garden area is going to sit idle till springtime again. You know, there are some good cover crops that we can put on even this late in the season. And what a cover crop is, instead of just leaving that ground bare. A cover crop is seeded over it, and it's usually something, you know, there's summer cover crops, there's winter cover crops that will grow easily that type of time of year, but usually isn't going to be something perennial where it's going to become part of that garden bed forever. And it keeps weeds and things out, keeps the soil there and not blowing away in the wind. But then in fall's case, in the springtime as we're coming, we're going to till that cover crop into the ground. We're going to turn that over, and that adds a lot of nutrients and other vitamins and minerals back into the soil. It adds that good organic matter we're always talking about adding to the soil. So does a lot of good this time of year. You know, a lot of times people will do maybe an oat or an annual rye grass, some of those cool season grasses like we talk about treating our fescue lawns. But, you know, where it's more of an annual, it's not going to take over your garden and be there. And if you didn't do anything to it, you know, once the summer got hot, it would die off on its own. But come, you know, April, May, when we're planting in our vegetable garden, if we turn that in, it's going to really enrich that soil, and it will have helped it quite a bit through the winter to, you know, want to keep your soil there, but keep the moisture going. And it's a good way if you're going to leave your soil bare for a little while to keep from having some problems.
All right, we've talked a lot about our gardens this morning. Let's talk about our lawn here for a few minutes. When it comes to cutting our grass this time of the year, Jason, I know it's going to be warm for the next several days, but as we transition to cooler temperatures, what are some good rules of thumb for going out and mowing our yard?
You know, that grass, fescue grass, it's getting pretty happy and growing quite a bit again. And so if you haven't sharpened that mower blade in a while, you may want to do that for fall. You're going to be mowing yet again for quite a while, and that grass really starts looking good again. And so being able to have that nice, clean cut to it is good. You know, you could probably go ahead on our next mowing, maybe bring your mower down a notch. We don't ever want to mow that fescue real short, but now that we're having a little bit cooler times and you can bring it down a little bit, and it'll look a little bit nicer through the wintertime. We don't ever want it to get long enough that it's falling over and crowding itself out that way. But during the heated of summer, having it a little bit taller, it shades the soil a little bit more. It helps, you know, conserve a little bit of moisture. But now we can bring it down a little bit. And then depending on what we're doing with our lawn this fall, if we were doing some seeding and all, this still is a good time, and we still could do some overseeding to help fill that back in. And if we're doing that kind of stuff, we'll just want to use a plain fertilizer, feed the new seed in the existing grass, but we don't want to use any kind of weed control or pre-emergent once our seed has come up and then until it's been mowed a couple of times. So just a plain fertilizer. If I'm not seeding this fall and I really want to encourage that grass to thicken the best and avoid some of those problems, I would use a fertilizer that has a pre-emergent in it, like Dimension. And we can help by putting that on now. We can kind of help avoid some of those problems we had in the spring with, the purple henbit. Cheatgrass is another one, but the one I really had a lot of people have a lot of problems with this spring, the little barley, and it comes up, it's a grassy weed, it comes up and then it dies off in like June, and you've got this brown, clumpy, dead grass. Well, it's a winter annual, and we can prevent a lot of that this time of year. And so if you're not seeding, preventing some of those seeds from coming up is a really good thing to be doing this time of year.
All right, several ideas for your lawn here as we get into the fall and we get some cooler temperatures. Jason, let's talk about your garden club. What do we get when we join that?
Yeah, garden club's a fun thing. You know, we do it's all electronic. So once a month we do a newsletter, has some to-do things on it. We pick a great plant for that time of year, plant of the month. Some good information that way. And then also whenever we have different sales and specials going on, like we have a full flat pansy sale for $20 going on. But when we have those sales and things, garden club people get the email letting them know about that. And it's completely free to join. You can do it in any of the locations, or if you visit Stutzmans.com, our website, you can sign up right there for the garden club as well.
All right. Good deal. Good way to stay informed. A lot of wonderful information again this week, Jason. We'll talk to you next Saturday.
All right. It's good talking to you, Dave. Bye-bye.
All right. We'll see you then. Thank you for listening this morning to the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show. We hope you join us again next Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. Have a wonderful weekend.